Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, let's continue with our new teaching titled, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. Most Christians know that praying should be a part of our life, but there are far too many who do not understand how to pray effectively. As a result, they blame God when their prayers go unanswered or say that the scriptures do not work. I know from personal experience that the outcome of unanswered prayers can devastate a Christian and cause the person to backslide into sin. This is one reason that our God says that His people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listener, pay close attention to what I'm about to say. We have the knowledge available to us in the Holy Bible. However, if we do not diligently study God's word and then apply the truth to our life, we allow Satan to destroy us because we are operating in ignorance of God's promises. It is for this reason that this teaching is designed to explain in detail how to pray effectively. We will be examining why it is important to pray daily and which type of prayer to use for the specific challenge we are facing. I will be identifying 9 different types of prayers that are in the Bible for God's people to use and how to use them correctly. Whereupon, guaranteeing that your prayer will be heard by our Heavenly Father and your need met each and every time you pray. Keep in mind that God has told us in His holy word to come boldly to His throne of grace to find help in the time of need. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us and supply all of our needs when we approach His throne according to His word. This study will consist of 10 parts. An introduction, which we will complete today. Part 1, the prayer of agreement. Part 2, petition prayer. Part 3, intercessory prayer. Part 4, anointing with oil. Part 5, laying on of hands. Part 6, gifts of healings. Part 7, the prayer of praise and worship. Part 8, special anointings. And Part 9, the prayer of consecration and dedication. You will find out from this teaching that each of these types of prayers have clear biblical rules that we must follow if we want our prayers answered. God's biblical rules for praying gives us precise instructions on what to say and which type of prayer we should use for the challenge at hand. When you pray according to the appropriate biblical rules, you will never again wonder if God heard you or if you will receive the petition of your prayer. In short, your prayer life will not only increase in victories, but bring you the perfect peace of God that surpasses all understanding while you wait in faith for the manifestation of your petition. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and encourage you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information regarding this important teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that for this teaching, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible Translation, unless otherwise stated. Now let's finish the introduction of this teaching. Before I ran out of time last week, I was answering the question for the when we should pray. And we read several verses that told us that we should pray without ceasing. Let's reread Mark chapter 14, verse 38. It says, "Keep actively watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Family, this is so very important for all Christians, that when we are seeing things or hearing about things that are out of line with the Word of God, that we actively pray over those situations. That's why it says at the beginning of this scripture, keep actively watching and praying. We got the answer. And if we want our families, our community, our country, our world to be successful, then it's up to us Christians to put spiritual pressure on Satan and pray what God has already promised us in His Word. That's our job. Let's finish with Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God." Verse 7. "And the peace of God, that peace which assures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours." What a wonderful passage of scripture Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7 give us. It gives us the assurance that we got the answer in Jesus the Christ. I want to reread this scripture or this passage just one more time. I want you to just think about the wonderful words that are being spoken so that you can really get this deep down into your spirit and give a shout of joy that you can count on the living God, that you got the victory in Jesus, and no one or no thing can come against you and have victory over you. That's why we read these scriptures, so we can find out what God has promised us and then apply the word to our lives, individually and collectively. Again, I'm going to read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God." That's what we're doing when we pray. We are letting God know that we trust Him, and we're going to exercise the authority that He's given us by applying His word to the situation with our words. Then verse 7, "And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours." Family, this is so very important, because when we pray, we're going to have to give the Father thanksgiving that He has already answered it in the spirit realm. But there might be a time lapse between the prayer and the manifestation of your petition. So while you are waiting in faith, you are going to give thanksgiving to the Lord and rest in His peace. Again, that peace that transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your heart and mind in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. All right, family, let's continue with this introduction. I want to ask you a question. This is question number 3. We were answering question number 2 just with these scriptures that we just read. But question number 3 says, "For who should we pray?" Here's the answer. For the who we should pray. Let's turn first to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Apostle Paul is speaking. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. It says, I, Paul, thank God, whom I worship and serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. I want to highlight that last part of the scripture. We've already answered when we should pray. Now we're talking about who we should pray for. It says, I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. For those of you that are familiar with the book of Timothy, know that Paul was writing to Timothy, one of his students. Timothy is one of his trusted companions in ministry. We're talking about who we should be praying for. So those of us that are members of churches, are Christians, then our job is to lift up those who are called into the fivefold ministry, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the missionaries, those individuals who have been called by God to minister his word. We should be lifting them up in prayer daily, thanking the Father that they're out there giving out the word of God, drawing people to Christ. And we should help by lifting them up in prayer. Now let's continue with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. We're talking about who we should be praying for. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion and in every season, in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. Let's start at the top of this verse. It says, with all prayer and petition prayer, with specific requests at all times. Now, all prayer means that there are different types of prayer that we could utilize. And I've already listed those 9 different type of prayers that we're going to examine in this teaching. So you need to find out which prayer to use for a specific challenge or situation. But we are encouraged to use them all. And we're going to find out more about the various types of prayers very soon. Then down at the very end of this passage or verse, it says, interceding in prayer for all God's people. We're talking about who we should be praying for. We should be praying for all the saints, all those Christians who have called in the name of Jesus. We need to pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. Your church members, those that you know that are out in the different fields ministering, missionaries, all those that are in the body of Christ, we should pray for. Praise the Lord. Finally, let's read what Jesus prayed for with regards to all believers. Please go to John chapter 17, verses 15 through 23. Jesus is praying. We're going to find out that Jesus prayed for us, those of us during this time period and those in the future to come, in his time here on earth. And it's an awesome prayer. We're not going to read the whole prayer, but I do want to highlight verses 15 through 23. Again, John 17, I'm going to start with verse 15. It says, I, Jesus, do not ask you, God, to take them, disciples, out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I also have commissioned and sent them, believers, into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, I do your will so that they also may be sanctified, set apart, dedicated, made holy in your truth. I do not pray for these alone. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever believe and trust in me through their message, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe without any doubt that you sent me. Verse 22. I have given them to the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect and completed into one, so that the world may know without any doubt that you sent me, and that you have loved them just as you have loved me. This was Jesus' prayer. And I want to highlight, because we're talking about who we should be praying for. Jesus prayed first at the very top of this passage for his 12 disciples. They had a big assignment, a big work to do. And he knew that the world was corrupt and may not want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So he was lifting them up in prayer and asking the Lord to lead them. Let's start with verse 15. He says, I do not ask you, God, to take them out of the world. But then notice what he says at the end of that verse, that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. Amen. This same declaration of being kept and protected from Satan is exactly what we need today. We know that the church is being, bombarded with all kinds of evil intentions. We know it comes from Satan, but he's using people to come against the people of God and, more importantly, the Word of God. So we need to declare this for us today, that God will continue to protect us and keep us in his word and far away from all those evil assignments that Satan tries to put our way. Verse 16. Again, we're talking about who we should be praying for. It says in verse 16, they are not of the world. Now, I want to point out, because Christians, past, present, and future, we are ambassadors to the kingdom of God. We are not of this world. This world is corrupt. We represent the living God. We represent the kingdom of God on this earth realm. So when we pray, we should pray with that same authority, power, and dominion that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Don't be fearful. Satan has been defeated and he is under our feet. So when you get up every morning, you need to call out and say, Satan, I'm up. And I'm dangerous in Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 17. It says, sanctify them in the truth. Now this word sanctify means to be set apart for God's purposes. And we're sanctified by the truth. And where can we find the truth? In the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Bible. So if you want to know your place in God's kingdom, you're going to have to find out by studying God's word. This is what this ministry is all about teaching God's people what God has promised us and then how to apply the promises to our lives so we can be effective, excellent people of integrity and ethics, virtue that will draw people to Christ. Verse 18, the last part of that verse says, commissioned and sent them believers into the world. This is what Jesus is telling us. It says again, just as you commissioned and sent me into the world. That was Jesus' assignment when he came onto this earth realm. He was commissioned to complete a work. And that was to live, die, and resurrect. To save us. to give us eternal life in him. He completed his assignment, and he's given us an assignment. I also have commissioned and sent them being us believers, into the world. Our job is to bring people to Christ, to let them know that there is a better way, there is an answer, and it's all in Jesus, and it is good, good, good. Verse 19, last part of that scripture says, they also may be sanctified, set apart, dedicated, made holy in your truth. We are to be set apart, dedicated, made holy in God's word. And we can be family if we choose to, but we have to choose. All right, verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone. This is Jesus speaking. Then it drops down to the end of that verse and it says, but also for all those who will ever believe. That's you and I, Christians, today and forevermore. And trust in me through their message. So when we receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we become part of that family. And we should lift up each other in prayer to fortify each other so that we can continue the work that Jesus has called us to do. Verse 21, the last part of that scripture says that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe without any doubt that you sent me. You know, people of this world, sinners, they're looking for a better way. And they want to believe, but we got to show them that it is real. That through our lifestyle, through our words, through our conduct, Jesus has transformed us. And we have the answer to their issues. And that is Jesus the Christ. Verse 22, it says, I have given to them the glory and honor that they may be one just as we are one. That's at the end of the scripture. He has given us glory and honor. So let's make sure we live up to it by living out our lives according to his word. I want to read verse 23 one more time because it sums it up so nicely. And I think it will help us understand that we need to pray for one another constantly. It says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect and completed into one, so that the world may know without any doubt that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you have loved me. Oh, what a precious scripture this is. As a result of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, loving us, we can show that same love to the world. And it will draw people to Christ. It will show them that Jesus is the way, the only way. And there is victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Family, this concludes the introduction of this teaching. Before we move forward with part one of this study, I would like to make some general comments regarding the topic of prayer. First, I want to restate that there are many types of prayers, and each one of them has distinct rules and purposes. We must know what type of prayer to use for a given situation and how to apply its rules if we want God to answer our prayer. Secondly, whenever you pray, you must always include the following four steps. These four steps must be used each and every time, no matter what type of prayer you are speaking. Step number one, say your prayer out loud. There is no such thing as a silent prayer. Now, I haven't heard this statement recently in churches, but when I was growing up, it was very common for a congregant to stand up and tell the pastor, I have a prayer, I have a silent prayer. And the pastor would acknowledge it as a legitimate prayer. But a silent prayer is not a prayer. And we're going to talk more about this later on. But it is sufficient to say for now, if you are praying, you are going to have to open up your mouth and say something. When you're thinking a prayer, you are really just meditating. You are not praying. Step number two, pray to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, in that day, you will ask me nothing. So when we address our prayer, we're going to address it to the living God. Step number three, your prayer request must line up with God's word, the Holy Bible. Don't be praying for something that is contrary to God's word, his intent and purpose for his children. And step number four, close your prayer in the name of Jesus. This is very important because it is Jesus who has paid for that prayer by his precious life and blood and ultimately the death and resurrection of his life. It is the authority of Jesus' name that gives us the right to transact, bind and loose here on the earth realm. Remember, your words create life and death. Therefore, if you want to live a life of victory, your words must line up with God's promises. Keep in mind that whatever you say on a consistent basis shall come to pass, death or life. Oh, family, I'm so sorry. I am out of time. But please return next week as we continue with our teaching, The Prayers That Reach the Throne of God.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.